Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. Good morning. The Spirit in me greets the Spirit in you. My name is Kristen Phillipson. For those who don't know me, I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care here at Rosedale United. And joining with me in leadership is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our organ scholar, Cadence Brassard. Our choir is among you. And we're just really glad that you are here with us and that we're together on this morning in the warmth of community on a chilly spring day. Rosedale United is committed to supporting human flourishing here in this neighborhood and also in our city. And we gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. We are proud to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. Today, for those who happen to be popping in, is a bit of an unusual Sunday. It's our annual general meeting Sunday. Bonus, there's free lunch for everyone after the service. So we do hope you'll stay, and that'll just be laid out here in the sanctuary. We'll flow right from worship into the AGM. And we encourage all those who can stay to do so, but know that there will be a pause after the service for those who need to move on to the rest of their afternoons. That's all good. A quick announcement from the Rosedale Center. Mark your calendars coming up in a couple of weeks, May 14th, 7 p.m. We're opening the space here, the center, for a discussion with the neighborhood, Rosedale Neighbors Safety Discussion. We're inviting residents to join a conversation with Toronto Police Services, Councillor Diane Sachs, MPP Jessica Bell, on issues of safety, theft, and security in our neighborhood. So we ask you to watch for details and make a mental note of that date. And in this land, the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River, we are bound to Indigenous neighbors and their fate. And we are grateful to gather on this territory. May we learn to live out our commitments to truth and reconciliation and to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and to cast a better future for all. And so, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I invite you to stand as you are able in body or spirit, and to join with me in our call to worship. We are gathered together. We have gathered because we have heard Jesus' call. We have gathered because we have tasted the bread of forgiveness. We gather because we feel Christ's risen presence among us. And because this community helps to make Christ's presence real for us. Oops, sorry, the words, I'm going, why aren't they speaking? I know, my script is somehow different than your script. You know what, I'm gonna put my script aside, I'm gonna use your script, and I'm gonna invite us to call ourselves to worship again. This time, we'll really have some gusto because, you know, we've had a rehearsal. We are gathered together. We have gathered because we have heard Jesus' call. We gather because here we have found a way, not the only way. And as we gather, we give thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus Christ, who is new life and promise for us all. And so we sing, immortal, invisible, God only wise. If you're new this morning and you see VU next to a hymn, we're singing from this hymn book. And if you see a different letter, we're singing from the spiral notebook. We sing. I invite you to turn to those who are around you and pass the peace of Christ. And how this works is you just turn and say, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you, and greet someone you don't know. So we light our candle, signifying divine presence, and also the light and warmth of community. And before we gather ourselves in prayer, I want to invite us just to take a moment to sit in silence, something which is so countercultural and so rare in our world, just to have that moment to breathe and to come into your own heart and your own thoughts. And so let's take those moments now. Having experienced the call of your voice, we come to worship you, Good Shepherd. Where you lead us, may we follow and know who you are and who you would have us become. Be with us as we worship this day, that it may be a time that moves us a little further on our journey with you. Help us in this time to explore the barriers that keep us from sharing love and hope in our everyday lives. Help us explore our resistance to the people around us we would call other, where we have grown comfortable in tombs of indifference. Call us out and give us the courage to come alive. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So in this moment, we open the theme that we're going to explore during this worship service together. And there's a very good question for you to ponder that's written in the bulletin. And yesterday I decided that this isn't really the question that I wanted to lift up in this moment, as sometimes happens. You know, we have to be flexible. So do ponder that question, because it's a good one. And I want to invite you to some other questions this morning. This is our annual general meeting Sunday, and so it is a sort of time of taking stock of this past year. And so I want to ask you, what have you learned? What have you been learning in this past year? How have you been growing? How have you grown as a person since last spring? And how are you being called to serve now? What feels like it is genuinely yours to give? How are you learning? How are you growing? How are you being called to serve? These questions are just for you. And today, I will give you a chance to share a little bit with those around you later on. So you're invited now, though, to ponder just in the silence of your own heart as Sarah plays. I want to give a short intro as Bob prepares to read the scripture. What you're hearing in the Gospel of John, it's important to say, is love language, okay? So sometimes the reading that you're about to hear can sound like it means like there's only one way or one path or one truth. And it's helpful to think of the way Jesus is described here as the same way that we might describe our special person in life. Like I might say about Steve, my wonderful Steve, he is the most important person in the world. And he is to me. To me. He isn't to you, okay? Even though he's fantastic, okay? Yes, he is to me. And I want you to put on those love language ears as you're hearing the Gospel of John this morning. John writes, that's how John writes about Jesus, okay? So, there we are.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd.
Take it from the top. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May the Spirit bless this reading to our understanding.
Thank you, Bob. As we sing this next hymn, I want to invite you to keep it open because it's framing our baptism. We'll revisit it at the end of our celebration of baptism. For now, we're going to sing the first two verses of I, the Lord, of Sea and Sky. And during that second verse, I will invite all those who are participating in the baptism to come forward.
Thank you. On behalf of the congregation of Rosedale United Church, we welcome and receive for baptism Sophie Adele Shaker Conacher, who is joined by her family.
Sophie, do you affirm your faith in God, source of love, in Jesus Christ, love incarnate, and in the Holy Spirit, love's power? And will you affirm your willingness to follow in the way of Jesus, loving and serving others, resisting oppression and evil, seeking justice, and witnessing to God's love for all creation? If so, say, I will, God being my helper.
I will, God being my helper.
And to Sophie's parents, will you do your best to raise Sophie in the community of the church, here and at home, teaching her about the Christian faith and encouraging her to seek confirmation so that together you might grow in faith? If so, say, I will, God being my helper.
Siblings in Christ, do you receive this child in Christ's name as you also have been received? Promising to support these members and this community with constant love, Christian teaching, and faithful prayer, are you willing to accept this holy work?
I am willing, God being my companion. Okay, come around here, Sophie. Sophie Adele Shaker Conacher, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all. And I mark you with the sign of the cross, the sign of love incarnate. May the Holy Spirit, love's power, guide you, inspire you, and work within you all the days of your life. Amen. And so what this ceremony says is that Sophie is precious. This is all stuff we already knew, and we're saying it out loud. Sophie's precious, Sophie is a child of God, and we welcome her into this community in this congregation, and will you signal your joy with our applause? Sophie, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Amen. And there we go. Friends, we sing verse 3 of I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And so we join our hearts, our minds, our spirits to the wider community, to our world in these prayers. Let us pray. Called by you, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, we seek to be a bold and connected church. We're part of a large group of communities of faith, diverse, courageous, hope-filled communities, united in deep spirituality, inspiring worship, daring justice. Help us, loving God, to discern our place in this church as individuals and as a community of faith right here, right now. And in a world divided by so many possibilities and perspectives, Lord, help us to be a place of care and respect for others. May your example in Jesus show us how to welcome strangers and bridge divides. May your generous spirit inspire us to perceive the world as you perceive it, evolving and opening into a new day of unity, shared concerns, growing understanding and wisdom. May it be so. Amen. We're invited in this moment to respond. Will you join with me in our offering response? We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. So we invite you in this moment. There may be a prayer that you are holding on your heart this morning for a person in your life, for a place in our world. And we invite you to come to one of the stations where there are candles and you can light a candle in honor of that prayer in your heart. You're also welcome to just stay and listen to the music where you are. And on this annual general meeting Sunday, we do encourage you, if you are able, to make an offering to the life and work of this congregation. And our offering box is at the back, and during this time of response and offering, you're welcome to make your way there as well. It's open to you, and just take this time as you need for yourself.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from a book by an author named Margaret Wheatley. She's an academic. The book's called Turning to One Another, Simple Conversations to Restore Hope to the Future. And I just felt these words were just the spirit that I wanted to bring into our annual general meeting today. So this is from Turning to One Another. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what is wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about. Assume that many others share your dreams. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening always brings people closer together. Trust that meaningful conversation can change your world. Rely on human goodness. Stay together. Thank you, choir. I want to offer a short prayer. Maybe you'll pray with me, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So annual general meeting Sunday in the congregation where I grew up meant a big lunch downstairs in the church basement, prepared by the UCW, the United Church Women's Group. Sandwiches cut into corners, tuna, ham, egg, veggies and ranch dip, Nanaimo bars, and always these multicolored marshmallow and peanut butter squares. Do you remember those? Can we bring those back? So good. And strong black tea. And we sat together at tables on wooden chairs that stacked, and always there was this feeling of something important happening. And there was. As Margaret Wheatley writes, there is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. This is the work of annual general meeting Sunday, to discover what we care about. And perhaps remember is a better word. The work of the AGM is to remember why we're here, to remember what feels sacred to us, to remember what has formed us, and to remember how we want to live as a congregation. We remember what feels sacred to us. Every week when we gather, we say that what we're about here is supporting human flourishing, and that we do this by learning and growing and serving, and that's what flourishing looks like to us. That's what spirituality is about to us. That's what feels sacred to us, being conscious of how we're learning and growing and serving in new ways. We are works in progress, or as the African-American poet Lucille Clifton puts it, we are changed changers. We continue to continue. What is sacred to us is acknowledging that we're not static. And on annual general meeting Sunday, we're invited to take stock. What have you learned this past year? How have you grown? How are you growing? How are you called to serve here and now? What is yours to give right now? We would say these are sacred questions. One of my big personal, psychological, and spiritual struggles right now is managing pressure. Ministry to me always feels pressure-filled. I think because it always feels as if there is so much at stake. Whether our congregation not only survives but thrives, whether we're a congregation people want to be a part of, whether we're contributing anything positive to the community, whether we're actually supporting flourishing, it all feels directly related to my performance. And I know rationally that that's not true, but that's what it feels like. And I can put a lot of pressure on myself, and it can be debilitating at times. And about a year and a half ago, I hit a wall where my brain and my body said, you've got to do things differently when it comes to pressure. So a huge learning for me this past year has been that more doesn't always equal more. A year ago, I used to think that if I just got up and started work earlier, and if I just wrote one more draft, if I just worked more and longer, then I would be better, and our congregation would be the greatest, and even our world would be better. And this year, I've been learning to accept that enough is enough. Enough is enough. What have you learned this past year? How have you grown? I've been growing in trusting myself. I've been growing into a person who trusts that I do my best and I give enough with what I have. And enough is enough. I've been growing by changing how I use my early mornings, not for work anymore, but to take care of myself, to read, to exercise. And of course, I'm not perfect at this, but I'm trying. I've also been growing by trying to see ministry as a gift. I think for a lot of people in helping professions, like mine, or like nursing, or medicine, or nonprofit work, or in education, or politics, or the arts, we are forever standing in that tragic gap, as Parker Palmer calls it, between what is and what could be. And it can feel like a burden sometimes, always trying to bridge that gap. So my growth has been changing my perspective to remember that my spiritual tradition, my Christian faith, is actually just a gift in my life. And it's always been a source of warmth and comfort, and my relationship with God has been a grounding. And I get to pass this on. My job is passing on a gift. How have you grown this past year? How are you growing? And how are you being called to serve? What is uniquely yours to give right now? For me, right now, I would say I think I'm called to serve my family. Steve and I have one child who's going through a rough patch right now after receiving a challenging diagnosis. And this child is totally okay physically, but there's other challenges. And a lot of the time, I would really prefer to shut myself off behind my bedroom door and just pretend that nothing's happening. But Steve has been really good about calling me back and reminding me that our job right now is to keep being present, to keep showing up, to keep being supportive. How are you being called to serve? What is uniquely yours to give right now? I wonder if we might, on this AGM Sunday, be brave enough to start a conversation that matters with each other. As we remember what is sacred to us, as we remember how we've been learning and growing and serving, you've had a chance to sit with some of these questions. And I want to invite you to share your answer to where one or all of these questions took you with one or two people around you. And know that we keep confidence here and that this is invitational. You might choose just to listen. And I'm also going to trust that in these next few minutes, you'll crane your necks and you'll look around and you'll move closer to each other and you'll ensure that no one is left out. But I want to invite you to turn to one or two others and to share with those one or two others your answer to just one of these questions. What have you learned this past year? How have you grown? How are you being called to serve right now? And we'll take just 5 minutes to do this, and I will keep time. There you go. and I invite you to come back. And hopefully you can carry on these conversations after the service. It feels good to talk about what we care about, right? It feels good to remember what we care about. And we've just been remembering what is sacred to us, what feels spiritual, flourishing through learning and growing and serving. And in this moment now, I want us to remember who it is that forms us and calls us together as a congregation. And remember how we're framing this. This is love language, right? We're remembering what we aspire to as a congregation, how we want to live. I am your good shepherd, Jesus tells us. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We remember today that we are a community formed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and that we aspire to be his body in the world, to see him and to serve him in others. Jesus is our shepherd, we would say, and we are his sheep. And I know what you're thinking. Who wants to be a sheep? It's like the worst thing. Maybe you think being a part of Jesus' flocks means leaving your brain at the door and being meek and mild, but actually, following Jesus means being a critical thinking radical and living a very countercultural life. Jesus was someone who challenged what is possible. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about a bent-over woman. She's been bent over by life. No one can remember her any other way, to the point where everyone, her family, the religious authorities, her friends, just believe that this kind of existence is all this woman can and should expect. People like her should only expect this much from life. And I think our culture is the same way. There are so many people, the elderly especially, people experiencing poverty, people experiencing ill health, where our culture teaches that certain people can and should only expect so much, that they're only entitled to this much goodness. But what some label chronic, Jesus called curable. He called this woman over and he helped her to stand up. And as followers of this good shepherd, we too are challenged to ask, what more is possible? We're formed by Jesus Christ, the shepherd, who challenges us as his flock to see being a good neighbor as being about more than just minding our own business. Jesus told a story about a man who'd been robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road, and a priest like me saw him and thought about how under pressure she was and just kept on walking. And a very devout person walked by and thought, better that I stay out of it. And then Jesus said in the story, the person you'd least expect to help walked by and stopped and took care of the man and got him to a place where he could get help. And Jesus challenges us to be that kind of person, the kind of people who take responsibility for others. We're encouraged in our culture to always be self-centered, to always be asking, well, what's in it for me? And to be protective of time and boundaries and to not give an inch to anyone else. But today on our AGM, we remember that we're formed by a countercultural shepherd. And he encourages us to love as he loves, to take some risks, to turn outward instead of turning in, to lay down our lives for others and trust that in doing so, in emptying ourselves, we will be filled by his Spirit. Some of you will remember Sarah Graham. Every Sunday into her 90s, she would be at the door greeting people. We still keep her chair there. And she was someone who took the risk of turning outward, of laying down her life, she compiled this long list of people that she decided needed to be checked in on, and she would call them every single day. How are we laying down our life for others? So we've remembered together what is sacred to us. And as we walk into another year together, we remember who is leading us. There is no power greater than a community remembering what it cares about, what is possible, what it means to be a good neighbor, what it looks like to love, how it feels to flourish, learning, growing, and serving together. Amen. Will you stand as we sing? This time, from this hymn book, we're going to sing just the first two verses. Now, as we turn to go from this place of worship, may God help us to go as bold disciples. May God bless our living with deep spirituality and daring justice. And may we keep thankful for God's presence and for our life together. We go in the name of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, to live with bold and daring faith. And we bless each other as we go. Our blessing is new for this season of Easter, and we'll sing it a few times.